But here today, we're going to look at a story that you probably have heard of at least once before, or maybe you've read it quite a number of times. But we have the conclusion of our parables that Jesus had been sharing with the crowds and the multitudes. It says this in Mark 4:33, "And with many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. Without a parable he did not speak to them, and when they were alone he explained all things to his disciples." And we understood why he did the parables, so that people would actually, the hungry ones would find the truth, that they would look farther. They would want to know the meanings, and Jesus then would explain it to them, because true seekers will always find the Lord. But on the same day, after finishing all of those parables, Jesus decides to go to the other side of the lake. When evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, Jesus had been ministering day and night, basically. People were coming to him. They were crowding around him. And we have to understand something. Though Jesus was God in the flesh, he was still a human being. And he still had to sleep. He had to take rest. Now, so something that I always hated was going to sleep. I figured it was a waste of time. I figured we only had so many hours to live, so why waste it sleeping? But, you know, that doesn't work out after a while. After a while, you hit a wall. You need to get your rest, right? So Jesus, more than likely, part of the reason of crossing over the lake was to get away from the crowds for a bit and be able to have a little bit of a break. But also, there was a plan behind all of this. God had a plan in the middle of this circumstance that was scary in one sense, but it was also amazing in another. And so we're going to come into the story of what happens as they cross over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. There's a popular TV ad that used to be on. I don't know if it still is, but the question was asked in the ad, "What's in your wallet?" Anybody seen that ad? Right, yeah. What's in your wallet? And the whole premise behind it was, if you have this in your wallet, you have some security, right? That's the idea. Now, I can assure you that your greatest security is not going to come from having a credit card in your wallet. But, of course, TV advertising, the way that it is, you want to find your security, find it in the things that they're advertising. So what's in your wallet? Well, I want to ask you, what's in your wallet today? I really don't, okay? I want to ask you, who's in your boat? Who's in your boat today? In the journey of life, who's in the boat with you? Are you drifting along on your own? Or do you have someone in the boat with you through what's coming? Because I can tell you what's coming already. If you're going to go through this life, just like any boat, if a boat was on the ocean all the time, what would they finally come into? Storms, and lots of them. And sometimes one storm after the other. Now, storms can be pictured in many different ways in life. Tell me some of the storms that can come against us. You tell me. What's that? Tornadoes. Okay, you're talking literal storms now. Okay, that's, yes, you can be in a tornado or a southeast, right? Okay. But now tell me some other kinds of storms that you can experience in life. Sickness. Sickness. Yeah. Okay. The very gates of death itself. That's quite a storm to face, isn't it? Yeah. Boy, that's a storm we're all going to face unless the Lord returns. We're going to face that storm. We're also going to face some sickness, aren't we? Yeah. And some more than others. Mental, yeah. Storm. Pardon me?
Mental
anguish. Yes. Storms in the mind. Mm-hmm. Other storms?
Financial
storms. Yeah. Anybody ever had one of those?
Yeah.
Financial meltdown, right? Financial storms, yes. Any other kind?
Children.
Yeah. Family troubles. Now, nobody here's had any of that,
No. Right?
Family troubles. They can be awful storms, can't they? Terrible storms. And we sometimes we just have no way. We can't see our way navigating through some of these, right? Storms are very difficult. Any other ones? What's that?
Addictions.
Yeah, absolutely. Storms of addictions. Boy, there are a lot of pitfalls in life, are there not? There are a lot of things that can come against us. But I tell you, there's another storm that nobody mentioned here. There's the storm of death, but there's also the storm of judgment. Judgment. The judgment of the Most High God on sinners. That's a storm you want to be sheltered from. That's a storm that you want to have somebody in the boat with you, the boat of life, into death itself, sailing into death itself, sailing into the very presence of Almighty God. You want to make sure that you got the right person in the boat with you. And don't be fooled. Make sure that he's in the boat. And make sure you're in the boat with him. And who is the one I'm talking about? Jesus. We need to have Jesus Christ in our boat. We need to have him in our lives. We need him in our circumstances. So many people are drifting without an anchor, without a Savior, without hope in this world. And I just want to encourage every one of us here to make sure that you're in the boat of life with Jesus Christ. Make sure you're there. Because here they go. So when they left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. There were other boats that started to follow Jesus and the disciples. They had gotten into their boat. Now these boats, they would have been maybe, if I can remember rightly, about 16 feet long. Not very big. Not very big when you get a dozen people in it. 13 people in a boat. That boat might have made it across here, a little less than this, than the width of this building. And that's what they would be going out to cross over the lake in. And so the trouble with this lake is, I'm sure I've explained it to you before, the trouble with this lake is that it actually is a lake that is like Lake Ainslie. There's a wind that comes down off the side and blows down, and it causes, in very short period of time, in a matter of minutes, you can be in a storm. And they were. Now this storm, it says a great windstorm arose. That's how it usually happens. The waves don't get very big unless there's a wind. You have to have the wind. And that's what happens. The winds funnel down off of the mountains, hit the water, and suddenly the waves are up and roaring. And the waves beat into the boat that it was already filling up. So here's a major storm. Here's a major one. Now, all of us have had storms in our life, and some of them have been major, have they not? And there's more major ones coming. And of course, we have that major one of death and judgment coming. There's no way of getting around those. And so don't travel through life without the Savior. But even when we do, sometimes we can become afraid. Have you ever been afraid in a storm? I have. I've trembled and didn't know what to do so often in storms that were coming. But here's Jesus in the boat with them. Well, if Jesus is in the boat, maybe I won't have any storms. Is that true? No. Yeah, but some people are, you know, they kind of say, well, if you have Jesus with you, no more troubles, right? You know, even that one song, sometimes we sing, no more troubles. It's not true. Troubles come. As a matter of fact, a guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, and he was a preacher in Germany, and he actually said this 15 days before Hitler took over power in Germany. He said, when Christ is in the boat, a storm always comes up. Oh boy, that makes you want to get in the boat with Christ, doesn't it? Why? The world tries all its evil powers to get a hold of him, to destroy him along with his disciples. It hates him and rises up against him. So there will be other storms. We've talked about a lot of different kinds of storms that we can experience. But I can tell you something, that there's spiritual storms that will come against you if you go with Jesus Christ. There'll be trials. There'll be troubles. There'll be persecutions that will come against you. Those are storms as well. There'll be temptations come against you. The devil will seek to derail you from your faith in God. He will seek to turn you in other directions. He will try to consume your mind with the things of this world. And those are storms, friends. And they can overwhelm you. They can draw you in and suck you away from the presence of God and the peace of God and the power of God in your life. And those are real storms. And people are really affected by them. Storms have to do with relationships. Often relationships can cause terrible storms in people's relationships with God. They can rip people away from God, rip them into circumstances, situations they would never have imagined. There's a lot of storms that we could face. And when you think of all of those storms, You know, somebody might say, well, gee, I don't know if I want to become a Christian if there's even going to be more storms in my life. But let me tell you something. People that are without Christ, who are facing the storms of life, boy, they have no anchor for their soul. They have no one to lean on. And it's a desperate place. We are living in a culture today that is filled with suicidal thoughts. It is rampant in our culture. And used to be, when you'd hear somebody who was committing suicide, it was usually some person that was older and someone who had terrible addictions, and that still happens. It still does happen, doesn't it? But we are finding children taking their lives, young people taking their lives, who should have a whole life ahead of them, but they're filled with sorrow and despair already. They are overwhelmed by the storms of life already. The storms that happen in families have such an effect on our young people. We don't even see the consequences of it all now, but we will, because it always, we reap what we sow. And so there are terrible storms around us and terrible storms that people are experiencing. So let's not think that, well, if I just don't go with Christ, I'll avoid the storm. No, you'll get storms. And they will overwhelm people, and they will bring their misery and their destruction. But I could tell you this, to have Christ with you in the boat is the way to go. But in this case, Jesus, being totally exhausted, because remember I said, even though he was supreme God, he still had taken on humanity, and he had to sleep. He had to rest. And sometimes we just have to come apart and rest for a while. Sometimes we have no choice in the matter. Well, when Jesus got in the boat, he went to the stern of the boat and he fell asleep on a pillow. That's where he was. Now, when they came to him, they said to him, they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do not care that we are perishing." Now, what does that tell you? What does that give you a hint of? Okay, their faith was dim. Anything else? They were filled with fear, right? Have you ever been there? Faith dim and filled with fear. Boy, we can identify with that sometimes more than the faith part, right? But there's something else that we can learn from this. They were rebuking him that he didn't care, which means what? What's that?
There was no love.
Okay, they didn't respect him. But how could they rebuke him if he fell asleep before the storm started?
They didn't trust him.
Okay. But if he fell asleep before the storm started, could you blame him?
It was a test.
Okay. No, I'm talking about something practical here. Just practical. If Jesus fell asleep before the storm started,
he needed to rest.
I know, he needed to rest. But when they came and said, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" Does that make sense? If he was asleep before the storm started. Jesus went to sleep in the middle of the storm. In the middle of the storm, he went to sleep. Otherwise, they wouldn't say to him, "Lord, don't you care that we're perishing?" They would have said to him, "Lord, wake up, we're perishing." But the storm starts to rage. It begins to blow. The boat begins to rock. The waves come in. Jesus is there with them. And, you know, these guys are professional sailors. They've been around. They made their living, a lot of them, on the sea, like Peter and James and John. And now there's Jesus, rock-a-bye baby. Off to sleep he goes in the middle of a storm. He should be on guard here. He should be alert. All hands on deck. Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? I'll tell you what. Sometimes in the storms of life, it feels like God is a million miles away. Sometimes it feels like God is asleep. Sometimes it feels like he's not answering prayer. Sometimes it feels like, "Lord, don't you care that I'm perishing?" Sometimes it's like that. I've been there. Many of you have too. But I'll tell you this. If you have genuinely accepted Christ as your Savior, and I say that because sometimes we saw with the sowing and the seed, sometimes people are saying they're Christians, but in their heart, they have not really trusted Christ. But if you have genuinely trusted Christ as your Savior, Jesus is in the boat with you, even when it seems like he doesn't care. Jesus cares. He always does. How could he go to sleep then in the middle of this storm? Well, for one thing, he was totally exhausted. That's one reason why. And what else? Why? How could he go to sleep in the middle of a storm?
He wasn't afraid.
He knew. He knew what was going on. He was in control. So no matter how much you think that God is not in control, no matter how wild it gets, no matter how full the boat becomes, God is still on the throne, and he is still in control. Because I can tell you, sometimes those storms are so bad, the boat is so full of water, we're in the impossible spot. This is impossible. How in the world can I go one step forward? I'm finished. And those thoughts of despair can come to us, but the disciples did one thing right here. Can you tell me what it was?
They didn't have enough faith,
that's true. But what one thing right did they do? They came to Jesus, right? They came to Jesus. No matter how bad it got, in the end, they had one option left. They had no other options left now. The sailors couldn't fix this. They couldn't stop the wind or the waves. They couldn't stop the water from coming in their boat. They were at the end of everything possible, and that's when they finally woke up Jesus. Now, I know they rebuked him, but at least they came to him. So they did have a little bit of what?
Faith.
They had to have a little bit of faith because they could have said, well, there's no point in waking him up. We've done everything we can. We're the sailors. We're done. Right? They could have said, he might as well drown in his sleep as drown awake. So let him sleep. Right? But they didn't. They had at least a little bit of faith. Remember, Jesus spoke at one point about having mustard seed faith. Just a tiny little bit of faith. Well, they had that much that they actually did finally come to Jesus with their problems. And you know, sometimes we're like that in the storms of life. We are going to try everything that we can do, and we won't take that time to turn to God and seek his face. We don't pray about the situations. We panic. We do everything else first. We run around like chickens with our head cut off, and then finally we realize, oh God, I need you. We start praying. Don't let prayer be the last resort in your life. Let it be the first thing that you do. Let it be the place where you continually come to. Lord, I need you. God, I need you now. Lord, have mercy on me. Somehow, in the midst of this storm, Christ being asleep on a pillow, they woke him up and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Now, when you read it in the Gospel of Mark, this is recorded in three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this story. And it's interesting, in each one of them, we find something about it. But some of the Gospels are more careful about their timeline. Like others are just telling the story, but others are saying this happened, then this happened, then this happened. And Matthew's Gospel gives us the timeline, whereas Mark and Luke's Gospel just give us the story. So he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, when it says, But he said to them, it's not giving us the timeline, but Matthew gives us a timeline, and here's what it is. His disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose. You see the then? It gives us the timeline. Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea and there was a great calm. So who did he speak to first? The storm or did he speak to the disciples? He spoke to the disciples first. He spoke to the disciples because there were two storms raging that day. Where were they? What's that? Inside and outside. One storm was raging between their ears. And one storm was raging all around them. The storm between their ears had just about finished them, to the point that that storm was so great, the one between their ears, that they were accusing the Lord of not being faithful. Weren't they? Don't you care that we're perishing? That's how bad the storm had gotten here. the fear that had risen in their hearts, the absolute total meltdown that they were having was that, okay, Lord, don't you care? At least couldn't you be doing something like praying? Couldn't you be at least, you know, with us in this one? That's how bad the storm was within. So Jesus, when they wake him up, he speaks to the storm within first. The storm that was inside of them needed to be calmed first. Now, friends, what we want is for Jesus to deal with the storms outside. Lord, fix everything and I'll be calm. Right? Fix everything for me, Lord, the way I want it, and I'll be happy, cappy, happy, bappy. We used to call us, some of the girls that went to school, to church in Maragui, the Baptist church, they used to pick on them on the bus. They called them happy bappies. It was more of an insult than anything. But if you fix everything for me, Lord, I'll be happy. Because, Lord, what I really need is for that storm to go away, and this one over here, and that one there, and then it's clear sailing, and then I'll have peace. Listen, real peace doesn't come from everything going well around you. Real peace comes from God. Let him speak to the storm within your life. And often this is what will happen. We're asking God, Lord, get rid of the storm. God says, no, what I want to do is get rid of the storm on the inside of you. And then I'll deal with the storm on the outside. Don't worry. I'll look after that. So let me encourage you today. Yes, yes, come to Jesus in your storm. And sometimes you're going to come complaining. And sometimes but trust him that he knows what he's doing. Let him speak to the storm inside. Let him hear his words and say, don't worry. Don't worry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer, let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving, thanking God, knowing that he is able, because then it says the peace of God which passes understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. He can bring peace in the middle of the storm. It's amazing how he can do that. When we're facing the storm, generally, we're fearful, we're worried, and it's usually about things that haven't even happened yet. You see, they said they were perishing. Were they perishing? By all accounts, it looked like it. But was it possible for them to perish that day with Jesus in the boat? No. So they weren't perishing at all. But they thought they were. And because of that, they were absolutely terrified. And so you and I would be as well. We need Jesus. We need to hear his voice come to us in the middle of our storm and speak into our lives and bring that comfort and that strength and that peace. Because not only did he speak to the storm within them, but then it says he arose. Then he gets up and he rebukes the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. Now, this was a double miracle. Can you tell me what the double miracle was? Besides speaking to the storm within them, what was the physical double miracle here? The wind and the waves. Because you could stop the wind just like that. But what's going to happen with the waves? They're going to keep on going for quite a while, aren't they? Both instantaneously came to a halt. How could he do this? Do you know that the one who spoke to the wind and the waves was actually the one who made them in the first place? The Bible tells us that by Jesus Christ all things were made, and without him there was nothing made that was made. When you stop and think of the incredible, awesome majesty and power of Jesus Christ, we can see why we don't need to be afraid if you have Jesus in the boat with you. If you have Christ in the boat with you, no matter how huge the storm is, he's the master of the sea. He's the ruler of the waves, of the wind. He is completely sovereign and in control. So that I can trust him. And so the men marveled. Suddenly, they were completely blown away. And they asked the question, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who can this be? Oh, they were slow to learn. who Jesus was. They were slow to realize who was in the boat with them. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're a little slow too. Sorry. So am I. We're slow to realize who is in the boat of life with us. Who it is that we can lean on when everything goes south. Who it is that we can trust. Who it is that holds us and keeps us. And no matter what the storm is, even if it's a storm of sickness, even if it's a storm of death, even if it's a storm of judgment, Jesus Christ will hold on to you. He will take you safely to harbor all the way home. He cannot fail. He cannot fail. We are safe in the arms of Jesus. Oh, that our eyes could be opened and that we could drink the reality of that in, that we could discover it so that we are not tossed to and fro with every storm that comes, but rather we are finding an even keel in the middle of it all. We're finding a hope and a strength, and we're knowing that God is with us, and God is with us all the way through. You know, a lot of people will say these things. Well, it'll all work out in the end. Everything, you know, it'll all work out. It doesn't always all work out. For many people, it doesn't. It isn't true that it doesn't always all work out. But in Christ, the worst thing that could happen to you is for you to die. Or to suffer here and die. But even there, Christ is with us. Even there, he gives what is needed. Even there, he carries us by his grace and his mercy. Even there, he will take us safely through into heaven itself. Because that's what he's promised to do. Oh, friends, yes, I'm one of the ones that have little faith. And so are you. But let's take the little faith we have and put it in a great God. Because even though the disciples got carried away and accused Jesus of not caring, even though they woke him up in a panic, they still, with that little bit of faith, did come to Jesus. And that's what he said to them, you know. He said, oh, you of what? Little faith. He didn't say, oh, you have no faith. Right? He knew they had little faith. And it wasn't that he didn't get up and holler, oh, you bunch of guys got no little faith. No, he was saying to them with love and compassion, oh, you have little faith. Oh, you have little faith. Why are you afraid? He was speaking calm to them. He wasn't raking them over the coals. And God does not want to rake you over the coals. He wants you to grow in faith. A little bit of faith goes a long way. You've heard me use this illustration, but I'm going to use it again because it so helps us to understand faith. It's just a beautiful illustration. If three of us got on an airplane, one of us flew all the time and one of us only flew, you know, occasionally, and one of us never flew, the first one that gets on the plane, he saunters on the plane, sits down, he's cool as a cucumber. The second one gets on the plane, you know, his knuckles are a little white, he gets on and he's kind of waiting for things to happen and just, you know, he's been there before, but he doesn't like that feeling when you're going up and he don't like the feeling at all when you're going down. But the third one has not a clue and is absolutely terrified. They just drags themselves on the plane. And sit down, and every little noise, they're jumping in their seat and terrified. Now, the thing is, and I'm going to ask you a question. You've got three people that got on that plane. The guy that had more faith, right, would be the guy who had flown lots of times. Is that right? The guy who had not much faith, they'd only flown once or twice and wasn't sure about the plane, the pilot, and everything else. The guy who had little faith just was completely terrified. Does it make sense that the guy who had more faith is going to get there quicker? Does that make sense? They're all going to get there. Isn't that encouraging? They're all going to get there. You one with little faith, you're still going to get there. Did you get that? You might not enjoy the journey quite as much, but you'll get there. Because once you're on the plane, whose job? Do you have any say in the matter from there on? Nope. It's in the pilot and the plane's hands and you're out of it then, as long as you get on the plane. If you don't get on the plane, you're done for. You're not going to get there. Okay? So if you don't have Christ as your Savior, no matter how much you know about God, but if you don't actually have Christ in your heart and trust Him as your Savior, you're not going to get to heaven. You will not get to heaven. But if you do take Christ as your Savior, you genuinely put even a little, your little faith in Jesus Christ, He will get you there. And He will get you there just like He'll get the person with lots of faith. Am I making sense? But I'll tell you what. Just staying with a little faith makes for a pretty miserable journey. Because a whole while, that poor person is panicking on the plane. Every time there's a bump or, you know, turbulence. Oh, we're going down, right? No, you're not going down. Listen, trust the Lord, not only for the forgiveness of your sins, not only for getting to heaven, but trust Him to be with you in the storms. Trust Him that He's there. Trust Him that He'll hold your hand. Trust Him that He'll get you through, even when it seems everything is telling you the opposite. So faith grows by learning to trust God in the storms of life. So the last storm that you had, Jesus got you through. So your faith grows a little. You understand where I'm going now? So then the next storm comes, your faith grows a little bit more. So after a while, like the guy who gets on the plane, you're not so disturbed by every little thing that happens because you've proven your God has been faithful before. So God wants us to grow in our faith. It's wonderful to have faith, even if it's faith is a grain of mustard seed. It can get you into heaven, but God wants you to enjoy the journey too and to trust Him even when the storms come raging. Now, we're always going to get stretched. There's going to be a storm bigger than the last one that will come. And that is another opportunity for us to grow in our faith as we learn to trust that God is faithful. So who's in your boat? Well, I hope it's Jesus Christ. And if it's Christ, then you can rest assured that He will get you safely to the other side. Now, here's another thing. Remember, there were other boats out there. Remember that? There were other boats out there. Other boats who went into the same storm and they didn't have Christ. But at least they were in the same sea with Him. And when He calmed the wind and waves, they got the blessing of it. If we'll walk with God and trust Him in the storms of life, we'll bless other people too. They were rescued because Jesus calmed the winds and the waves, not only for them in that boat, but all the other boats as well. They too would have seen that miracle. And they would have known it was a miracle because the wind and the waves all stopped immediately. They would have known that somebody, miracle, incredible miracle just happened. Friends, while we're traveling with Jesus in the boat of life, there are all kinds of other people, loved ones, friends and acquaintances who are looking for hope and answers, deliverance, and miracles. If we will walk with God and travel with Him, they will see the miracles happening in our lives. They will be affected, and they need to be. They need to know there is a Jesus to have in their boat of life too, because He pours out such blessing that He blessed not only the disciples, but He spread the blessing to everyone else who was on that stormy sea on that day. Make sure you have Jesus in your boat. Amen. Father, we do pray that You will, Lord, touch us all and encourage us all, Lord, to trust You, to turn to You, and Lord, to grow in our faith as we look to Jesus Christ as our Savior. In Christ's name, amen. I think I'll sing another song for you. Is that okay? Okay. Okay. Well, I guess I would have done it anyway. If y'all said no, I probably wouldn't. But. This song is, it's a solemn song. And it has a challenge to it. My guitar back on? Okay. It has a challenge to it in that it's a, it actually talks about people being people who are without Christ and without a Savior going through the storms of life, what a solemn, what a terrible place to be. It's called Out of Christ, Without a Savior. And, you know, that's why we need to invite people in, into Christ. Out of Christ, without a Savior, oh, can it be? Like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea. Oh, to be without a Savior, with no hope or refuge nigh. Can it be, O blessed Savior, one without thee dares to die? Out of Christ, without a Savior, lonely and dark the way, with no light, no hope in Jesus, making bright the cheerless day. Out of Christ, without a Savior, with no hope or refuge nigh, how can you, a careless sinner, dare to live or dare out of Christ, without a Savior, dark will the voyage be. Clouds will gather, storms surround you. Oh, to Christ for refuge flee. Out of Christ, without a Savior, trust Him with all your heart. Ere the door of mercy closes and you hear the word depart, out of Christ, without a Savior, with no hope or refuge nigh, how can you, a careless sinner,